I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are continuing to take, if you got React, any part of the interview that you really liked with Deshaun, you can give us a shout, 713-572-4610. Loophole Joe says on Twitter, that. Yeah, nothing. Hey, Sean, nothing against you and Seth, but can you just put Watson on a loop? I could listen to him all day.
Well, this is what we'll start doing. We'll just interview him every day for an hour.
Yeah.
So we'll get him to agree to that.
Or we'll find old Deshaun. Here's what we'll do, Seth. Yeah. We'll take his media sessions after the – he does media sessions twice a week, after the game and on Wednesdays. So he'll be meeting with the media today. I would imagine his foundation will be a topic. Winning AFC Player of the Week will be a topic. The amazing conversation he had up here at Sports Radio 610 might not make it on the grid, but it should be a topic. But we will just, going forward, take his answers in those sessions, and we'll act like they were our questions.
Oh, okay.
We'll ask the questions, and then we'll just play the answers.
Kind of like some of the spoof news shows.
Right.
How they'll take it, and you ask a question, they give an answer.
Same thing.
Okay, we'll do it, except like with good intentions,
yeah.
Instead of trying to make the person look like a fool. So I would say this. I think you brought something up. Right when we came in here this morning, I wasn't even awake yet, but it was true. You said you'd like to have Jose Altuve's voice on your GPS because there's something soothing about it.
Very soothing.
We played Altuve talking after that disappointment of a game last night, and just something about Altuve's voice makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. I think Deshaun is in that same category. There is something about their manner and their way and their voices themselves that make Altuve and Deshaun Watson very soothing.
There's a calmness about both
of
them.
With honestly, that HEB commercial where the robot is saying, it's ready, ready. Even that robot, as it's going haywire and psycho, it is kind of soothing me at the same time.
You know what? I think it wouldn't be a bad idea here to play a 17-second cut from Jose Altuve just because the Astros lost last night. Everybody's a little on edge about the game tomorrow. We'll circle back to Deshaun here in just a second. But yes, here is Jose Altuve talking about Game 5.
I've done it years ago when we have the home field and, you know, we win at home, we lost on the road, and then come back home, make it happen. So we've been here before. You know, there's no pressure right now. The guys are confident to go at their home. We know we're playing a good team, but we are a good team as well, and it's going to be a good fifth game.
Man, it's going to be a good fifth game.
I feel better.
Yeah, I just, man.
I feel I'm practically stoned right now between an hour of Deshaun Watson and a Jose Altuve cut. I feel good.
You know what they should do is have Altuve and Deshaun Watson should get together on some kind of a meditation app or something.
Yes.
But instead of meditating, they just tell you nice things about yourself. Can you imagine every morning driving into work and for 5 minutes you hear Altuve and Deshaun Watson telling you everything's going to be fine and you're going to be great? Hey, buddy.
I think for the first time in my life, I would feel like everything's going to be fine.
The sales presentation you have later. You're going to nail it, buddy.
It's no problem. This customer is going to buy from you. He's going to buy from you.
And Deshaun will do the X's and O's breakdown.
Yes.
Like, here's what's going to happen. And he'd be doing the hand motions. You know, you're gonna sit the taller people in the back, the shorter people up in the front. Be sure you make eye contact with the decision makers in the group at least every few minutes. Hold that eye contact for 2 to 5 seconds. Not too short, not too long. Bam. And remember, ask for the sale. Ask for the sale.
Yeah. He would even, I think, not just recommend it. He would tell you you're going to do it. You're going to ask the exact right questions.
Yeah.
You're going to look them in the eye. You're going to know who the decision maker is.
Do we have, jog my memory, on the HEB commercials, do we have any cross sports commercials? It seems like there was at least one. Was there not? Wasn't one of the Vince Wilfork ones with a baseball player?
Yes, the food truck.
What was the food truck?
It was Springer and Correa walking up to Wilfork's food truck. Yes, that was the crossover between the two. Yeah, so
you know who should be doing radio in Houston?
Who?
Is Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
Let's get him on the horn.
Okay.
Hey, any of you out there live near Vince Wilfork? Also, Trent
Can you
Williams
drive to
too.
His house and knock on his door?
Do it. No, seriously. He probably, it's not like Vince Wilfork, it's not like JJ back in the day when he was in Pearland and he had to put a gate in his neighborhood.
Right.
Wilfork's not getting visitors on the reg. You know, it's not like people are driving down from the Woodlands to try to get his autograph.
He's retired. He may want the attention.
I think Wilfork and his wife, who's just awesome, I think that they'd kind of probably think it was funny.
I like it.
Just go up and go ahead and record it while you're at it and ask them, would you be willing to do a weekly radio show with Payne and Pendergast in the morning?
Oh, that would be beautiful. I would like that.
Yeah.
There's got to be a jillion food sponsors who would sponsor the thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because he's still, I think, he's still a great big fat person, right?
Fat. He's powerful. He's a big, powerful guy.
He's husky.
Guy. Yeah. Jeez. Just jump right in with that. We're trying to get his business. Do you think... You just listened to an El Tufe inspirational podcast, and you're going to
fat shaming like, Vince Wilfork.
Hey, buddy, now you're going to have to go back and listen to El Tufe. You're like, hey, buddy, hey, we all make mistakes. Hey,
El Tufe has turned me into the happiest bully ever.
You've been in this position before, buddy. You'll be all right.
Right.
Sure. You're trying to get Wilfork to come on every week, and you call them fat. Oh. That's all right. We'll rebound from this.
Okay, we're getting people on the text page asking, are we podcasting the interview? Is the full interview available on the website? I believe if it's not up there now, it will be. It is up on the website. Okay, good. Jonesy tells me it's up on the website. I will also mention that Clint Sterner will be replaying it. The same way we did in the 8 o'clock hour, Clint will be replaying it sort of interactively like we did at 8 o'clock. He'll be doing that at 4 o'clock today.
Oh, somebody brought up, too, Rack. Romeo Cornell, his voice too, pretty soothing,
very soothing.
So in the hierarchy of soothing voices in Houston, I would say I would put El Tufe followed by Romeo Cornell followed by Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
In terms of soothing voices, am I missing somebody?
No,
D'Antoni. D'Antoni. There's something relaxing about listening to D'Antoni talk.
There's sort of a southern drawl to it. I know he's from West Virginia. But
I know,
there's a
I know.
Drawl
well, there's
to
a,
it.
Like a West Virginia, whatever the hell that's called.
Right. Yeah. A West Virginia drawl to it. An Appalachian drawl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's some, he's up there too.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got some very soothing personalities here. All right, 713-572-4610. We've got people that want to weigh in on our interview with Deshaun Watson. We'll start it off with Ron. Ron, you're up on Sports Radio 610. What's happening, man?
Hey, Sean. Oh, I think I'm speaking for everybody in Houston. Thanks for rebroadcasting the show last night today.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, my one question was I'd like to have heard what Watson's thoughts were when that fumbled ball bounced back into his hands.
Oh, yeah.
O'Brien was actually pretty funny about that this week. And
yeah,
one of O'Brien's, I can't remember if it was one of his media sessions or if it was on his coach's show.
It was on Monday.
It was his Monday. You're right. It was his Monday.
Practice it.
Yeah,
he said it was good coaching.
That's right. That's right. He was pretty funny about that.
I wonder at that point, if I were Deshaun Watson right in that moment, I'd be like, yep, God is on my side.
Dude, no kidding. Dude, that was a pretty, not to deep dive back into the Atlanta game, but if that ball bounces a different direction early in the game and Atlanta recovers that football, they're already up 7-0 and the Texans will have had two possessions, one of which was a three and out that ended with that was wrapped around a Carlos Hyde 15-yard fumble backwards, and the other one would have been a turnover. So it was a good thing that thing bounced up into Deshaun's hands. All right, let's get Anthony in here on Sports Radio 610. Anthony, you're up on Payne and Pendergast. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Hey, you know, so watching that game last night, I know the Yankees are sitting there, I mean, licking their chops. I mean, Verlander went last night and Cole's going to go tomorrow. And, you know, if to me personally, if they lose tomorrow, that'd be the biggest choke job ever. You know, because, you know, you have your – I mean, the thing is that they're, you know, the hitters aren't – they're not hitting right now. To go up against the Yankees, you know, the Yankees, they strike out a lot, but they also – they score a lot of runs. You know, and Greinke didn't look that good a couple of days ago. Greinke looked like crap. So basically the only two people you have to depend on is Verlander and Cole. But using them up right now in this series, you know, going to the next series, I think the next series starts on Saturday. You know, the rest of the lineup, you don't trust. So to be honest with you, I don't see the Astros win the LCS. ALCS. Now hang up and listen.
All right. Appreciate it, Anthony. We'll hit that on the other side. We did the debate discuss earlier. Let's talk about that again. We compared it to the loss to the Bills back in the back in the playoffs in the early 90s. Which one would be worse if the Astros were to lose this game tomorrow?
What, the whole thing is... Oh, go ahead.
We'll carry it into the next segment.
Yeah, because there's reason to believe that the Astros actually match up better to the Yankees than the Rays.
Yeah, let's talk about... We'll talk about that. We'll circle back to DeSean as well. I need to give you the MVP odds on where DeSean is. Shows you what one great performance can do to get you back on that MVP grid. We'll hit that next. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast. 713-572-4610. We were talking about DeSean Watson's soothing qualities of his voice. Him and Jose Altuve, Rack. It's spawned some texts about whose voices are soothing in Houston sports. We'll probably have a top 10 list by the time this is done. James Harden is getting some support for having a soothing voice.
I don't know about that one. I would say more soothing. Is that the right word for James?
Here's why James Harden's voice isn't soothing.
Yeah.
His voice is soft. His voice is not soothing for Houston sports fans because he is polarizing.
Okay.
And not because he's got outlandish opinions or anything like that. He's polarizing because his performances are so flummoxing. You know, that the postseason, I'm not going to say the postseason results. He's actually statistically excellent in the postseason. But the moments that he's had.
Right.
The most memorable postseason moments for James Harden, unfortunately, have been things that Houston fans have this Pavlovian association with failure, when the fact of the matter is he is, by and large, one of the most successful, other than the championships, the most successful players in the league in terms of regular season accolades, right, postseason stats. It's just those moments. I think James Harden's voice, if it's going to be soothing, it needs to be universally soothing. He would not soothe half of the audience that would have his voice on the phone.
But I think it's more than that, though, because what originally started all this was we played Altuve talking about how, hey, they've been in this position before in the postseason. Yeah. It's not that big a deal. They'll be fine. And it made me feel better. It made you feel better.
Right.
So likewise, we were talking about which guys can take control of a situation like that and calm the situation down. So it's as much about personality as it is about the actual voice quality. And I don't know. Harden's not quite there yet now. You feel like he's not... He just doesn't have that same persona as an Altuve, I think.
Two more on here that people mentioned. A texter says Wade Smith's voice is soothing as well. Let me tell you something about that. The more and more Wade does radio, the less soothing his voice is going to become. I'm just warning you.
Yeah, it'll become more and more about, hey, here's where you're wrong.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. If Wade Smith's voice is the still water that you want to sit next to and just skip a rock across and it calms you all down, buckle up, Buttercup.
Oh, yeah, we'll ruin him. We'll ruin him right good.
You're going to destroy the soothingness of Wade Smith. He will not be Wade Smooth. He will be Wade. Yeah, you will not like that version of Wade Smith that we're going to create.
Well, I think they'll like it. It'll just be a different relationship.
It won't be soothing. Yeah.
It's 4 hours, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. It changes a man.
Yeah, that's true.
You get
true.
That thousand-yard voice.
You're going to like him still, but he won't be as soothing. Yeah. Laramie Tunsil's getting some love on here.
Yeah, and kind of has that take charge persona too, where you could see him settling the situation down.
Ironic, seeing as he came from one of the crappiest teams in the league,
mm-hmm.
that he would be a take charge guy. John McClain has a country sounding soothing voice. Does John McClain have a soothing voice to you, Seth?
I don't know. It's because I never shake the suspicion that John McClain hates me. So there's always that.
So
I
that
feel
doesn't
like,
soothe you, man, soothe you necessarily.
Yeah, it doesn't soothe me. I feel like if your executioner has a soothing voice, or the judge
kind of baiting
the
you
judge
in.
Who's tired of your antics,
right?
Oh man, I've hit him. Like if his character in Spring Breakers, if I was standing before the man, he'd be like, Seth, I've had enough of you, and you're cutting me off while I'm trying to answer questions,
right,
and your dismissal of my opinions.
50 years.
I sentence you to 50 years in the hole.
Right.
No water.
Right. No water. So we're getting a lot of people weighing in on that. DeSean Watson's MVP odds, according to betonline.ag, there are only two players with shorter MVP odds than the quarterback of the Houston Texans, one DeSean Watson. They are Patrick Mahomes, who is still the favorite despite his gimpy ankle and a loss to the Colts last week, and despite only throwing one touchdown pass in the last 2 weeks. I don't know that this is clearly Mahomes' most dry stretch of productivity from a touchdown pass standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the first time they've scored fewer than 28 points. This is... he as a starter, and this is where somebody did that thing. Texans and Aaron, who I usually like, kind of mischaracterize what I said.
Is
yesterday.
A Twitter person?
Yeah. Yeah, and I usually like him, but yesterday when we were talking about the competition between Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, I said so far Pat Mahomes is head and shoulders above Deshaun Watson and anybody else, everybody else, for the duration of his career, just because of the sheer numbers of it all. Now, the reasons for that, you can make all kinds of explanations for it, including Andy Reid, supporting cast, whatever it might be. I'm just saying, up to this point, based on scoring offense alone, based on the fact that Pat Mahomes has won an MVP, all those things, that's Pat Mahomes is the clear winner. That doesn't mean that it has to be that way forever in perpetuity. And this right here, with I really honestly believe that Deshaun Watson last week had a bit of a breakthrough. And Bill O'Brien had a bit of a breakthrough too. And part of it was just remembering the simple part of the game, that it doesn't have to be so complex all the time. You don't have to be trying to win the game with every single pass. It's just the pitch and catch. Hey, there's an easy throw on first and 10. We're going to take that easy money. I think that they made a breakthrough. It was against a bad Falcons defense, don't get me wrong. But I think it's going to be a better offense moving forward. So that's why this matchup right now, where you're telling me that Deshaun Watson has the third best odds to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Behind
Mahomes and Russell Wilson.
And Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
This, at the end of the season, this matchup right here is key and critical. Because I would say the same way when J.J. Watt was being mentioned in MVP conversations, which we know it's probably... it's going to be a long time before a defensive player wins it.
Sure.
The one thing that really would have made voters think hard that season is if the Texans had beaten the Colts, if they had beaten the Broncos, because Manning was still in the conversation.
Yep.
If he had beat the other candidates head-to-head, and if J.J. had, you know, a pick six or something in one of those games, then that might have gotten people really over onto the side, because they would have said, wow, he actually defeated other MVPs, and he single-handedly did it. This matchup right now, if Deshaun wants to have a chance at the MVP this year, he's got to outplay Pat Mahomes.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you on that, Seth, because these awards are about impressions and moments. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes had moments last year that people remember. And you know, the no-look throw was something that was glitzy. But I think when I think of Patrick Mahomes, the MVP, obviously you think about the numbers. He was superhuman when it comes to statistics. But I think about the fourth down throw in that Ravens game late in the season where they won a game in overtime. It was the only game the Ravens lost with Lamar Jackson at quarterback last year. And Mahomes throwing across his body on fourth down, a do-or-die play, and he throws that pass. They score. They go on to overtime. They win the football game. Russell Wilson's moment was, I think, this Thursday game last week against the Rams where he had many moments in that game. He drove them down for the winning touchdown in that game. This is a chance this Sunday for Deshaun Watson to have one of those
right.
moments.
And I'm not actually as impressed by the circus throws as I am just the actual offensive production.
Yes.
And that's why I've always sided for Tom Brady and his peak window, not necessarily right now, but versus Aaron Rodgers is the far superior quarterback, almost precisely because Tom Brady doesn't have the circus throws, because he just churns out production year after year to the point where they're a top three scoring offense every single year. Aaron Rodgers had way more highs and lows, and you can blame Mike McCarthy if you want, but there were years where the Packers were the 15th best scoring offense. That never happens with Tom Brady. So I think that's what it boils down to with me. Pat Mahomes has more God-given arm talent than just about any quarterback who's ever lived. And that's not the no-look passes, that's not the off-the-back foot or anything. That's just the ease with which he rifles off precision deep throws, mid-range throws, short range. If you want to look at an impressive highlight reel of a quarterback, watch Pat Mahomes' screen throws.
Mm.
Honestly and truly, because part of a successful screen is putting the ball precisely where the guy can just get moving immediately. And it always seems like it shouldn't be as hard as it is, but it's hard. He does that perfectly well. So he just has great arm talent. But that doesn't mean that he's always going to be the best quarterback.
Yeah.
So this game right here, I'm really excited for Deshaun Watson. I'm really excited for potentially what they can do versus this Kansas City defense, because it's not a good defense. They've improved somewhat in some areas, but they can't stop the run. And if the Texans put together a good game plan and actually go out with a balanced attack, they've got a shot in this.
So
this game
Tyrann Mathieu has not had a transformative effect on that Kansas City defense. The Honey Badger hasn't come in and just recalibrated everything.
It
for
was,
them.
Yeah, despite the large name and everything, yes, they haven't.
Honey Badger, I the large contract.
For the life of me, I couldn't figure out why somehow it was going to be just because of a coordinator change. They were going to be a markedly different defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's they bring in Justin Houston and that helps, but it's they've still got issues in their run defense. You might think run defense shouldn't matter as much these days. It does if you can't stop the run and it keeps your MVP quarterback off the field because the other and you limit the number of possessions in the game, then it's going to hurt your football team.
Seth's voice soothes me while I brush my teeth in the morning. That's a text.
I don't know if that's a compliment or an insult or just a flat out
I would
joke.
Say just, you know what?
I'm going to accept it as an insult.
That's
the way I roll.
That's what a soothing person does.
If Altuve is like, hey, buddy, Seth, it's not an insult. I'd say, shut your mouth, Altuve.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it as an insult. You sit back there. You protect yourself and rest
It'll
for
water
game
bug
five.
You.
Yeah.
MVP text message, MVP equals McCaffrey. The best thing that's happened to Christian McCaffrey's MVP candidacy is Cam Newton's injury.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If I mean, they keep winning games. They've won three games with Kyle Allen at quarterback, and McCaffrey's the biggest reason why.
McCaffrey's got a really good shot at it. I'm going to say the biggest thing about McCaffrey is he's strong and he's tough and he's built like a brick bleep house, but he's also very little.
Can he hold up over 16
games?
He
might hold up over 16 games this year. And there's no reason for me to believe he's injury prone or anything. I just worry about him over time.
Yeah.
What's McCaffrey? McCaffrey might have to pull off a way early holdout at some point because he's going to get paid once probably.
Yeah. I think like a lot
you
of
know
running
what,
backs.
More of these guys need to start doing what Curtis Martin did though too. Remember Curtis Martin was wearing.
And it's sponsored by Bauer Wizard. All right, so there's still a couple of accidents working on the East X Freeway. Right as you get to the North Loop, there's one northbound involving a hazmat spill and a lost load. They're blocking that exit ramp. And the other one heading southbound, that one's blocking a left and a center lane. The accident that was over on the South Loop eastbound out Alameda, that one has cleared. Finding low-cost electricity is now easier than ever with Power Wizard, an electricity shopping site that automatically searches hundreds of plans to find the one that's right for you. Visit PowerWizard.com to see how much you can save. That's PowerWizard.com. High of 87 today, 70 degrees right now from the trailer. We'll end frame weather desk. Amelia Escobar, Sports Radio 610.
Haley, we're going over with our listeners who the athletes and coaches in Houston are with the most soothing voices, mm-hmm. and you've gotten a couple of voices. Because you are part of the sports scene now in Houston.
Oh, I am.
You should put that on your Twitter account.
I totally am.
Noted sports personality, Ali Escobar.
Yes.
Other thing I wanted to get your opinion on was about how Lil Peep's tour company has fired back.
You have a take on that?
I do not.
I just saw this tweet popped up and it's Lil Peep and it's this some basic white dude with a face tattoo. So I'm guessing is he a rapper? The face tattoos. This is where I'm going to turn grumpy old man.
Oh no!
I don't think no. I got to think most 21 year olds. Think the face tattoo is going a little too far, right?
I hope so.
Are we old? Are we old now? And that's a grumpy old man take.
Let me just say this about the face tattoos. And if you're a rapper and you have a face tattoo, man, you better make that rap career work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are very few accountants, attorneys.
Yeah.
And salesmen.
You can take them serious.
And this is not, yeah. And honestly, and this isn't like, I always want to be sure, like, wait a second, is this like a subtly racist take? I don't think so, because I think there's more white dudes with face tattoos than black guys.
Yeah, isn't a race. It's a tattoo on the face thing.
Yeah. And on the neck and everywhere else. I gotta think the majority of 21-year-olds still think the face tattoo is going too far, right? People weigh in on this.
7135.
Where's your children right now and ask them if you've ever talked about it.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's my daughter's my one rule. If I've told her it's
no
like,
face
listen,
tattoos.
Once you're 18, you can do whatever you want, but please, 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 just hold off on the face. You're not allowed to get a face tattoo until you're 32. Jonesy, don't play that promo. Look, that's the only interesting stuff we talk about all day is face tattoos.
Yeah,
you don't have to get it. You don't have to be in such a hurry to get it started.
Jonesy was having none of it, man. Yeah. None of it. We actually do have some interesting stuff from Deshaun Watson from last night. Our evening with Deshaun Watson up on podcast on sportsradio610.com, and it's going to be replayed in the 4 o'clock hour. Clint Sterner will replay that during the 4 o'clock hour day. It was a lot of fun. If you made it up here for it, if you were one of the winners who was allowed to be there, first and foremost, thank you for listening to the station. Secondly, good seeing you up here last night and congratulations. The part that I wanted to touch on here is Deshaun Watson. We played some audio for him of Bill O'Brien about a year and a half ago. It was in June of 2018. So it was after Deshaun's rookie year, before his second year. He actually came out to Little Woodrow's when we were out there back in the old school triple threat, me, Rich, and Ted days. O'Brien came out there to the Little Woodrow's in Rice Village over there. It was awesome, too. He walked over there, I think, I think he lives in Westview. He walked over. He was wearing, like, jeans, flip-flops, and a Hams t-shirt. Like, the cheap beer Hams. It was pretty cool. And one of the things we asked him about was Deshaun's visit to the building, which he gushed about. He talked about how Deshaun connected with everybody there in the cafeteria, talked about how great he was on the whiteboard drawing up plays. So I played that audio for Deshaun last night in the interview, and here's what Deshaun had to say about his visit to Houston.
It was more like a very intense test. They were trying to make sure that they were trying to test everything, my knowledge, if I, fall under pressure, if I get nervous, anything. So he was teaching me all types of protections, plays. And so he taught me, and he said a half hour. It was more like 10 minutes before he came back. So it was more like 10 minutes, but I was drawing it, and I didn't say a word. I just watched him. Watched all the coaches' stuff. I didn't say anything. He would ask me questions. I'd just shake my head. And I knew, but I was very confident in what I knew because I love football. I love learning about different things. And so during the pre-draft, I always told myself, and the quarterback coach I was working with, Jordan Palmer at the time, I always said, draw both sides, left side and right side. And so I always flipped the play. And so when he came back in, it was a big table, and I had notebook papers all over the place. I had like 5 sheets of the left-handed call, right-handed call, and then I had like 2 more sheets where it just kind of regular notes. And then when I got up there and drew it, I did it confidently. He asked me questions. I killed the questions. And then I kind of smirked at him. And he didn't say that. In the most, I guess, respectful way, he was just like, did you smirk at me? He said some other stuff with it. And he said it with a serious face, and I was like, I did, because I knew I was right. And then all he did was kind of giggle, and was like, all right, you're good, you're done.
It seemed to work out.
Right, it worked out. And then, when I talked to him about it, that's when he knew, like, this is my quarterback. I knew I'm here. And then, of course, the cafeteria stuff. I knew some of the people, but, I mean, it's just, I just kind of connected with the whole team, especially when I got drafted, too. Got in the locker room, and everyone just kind of, we just fell in love with each other.
This is that was really interesting. I love the part how Bill O'Brien had said they left him for a half hour, and Deshaun Watson said it was 10 minutes. That's a classic. I went right back to being a player there, and this is why Deshaun Watson had a better mental makeup than me as a player. Like, and this is why he was a quarterback. I would have been livid. I would have been like, this motherfucker, this is going to send me a half hour. It's 10 minutes.
I love this take right now.
But this is why, a lot of times, honestly, the interview process for most football players, the way coaches conduct it and the way scouts draw conclusions from it, I think it's garbage for every position except quarterback. Because the problem with a lot of great football players is that we're not always the most socially adept human beings. It's sometimes some of the guys that I knew that were the most dependable guys on a football field might have been the worst interviews ever. They lacked the social skills. Quarterback's a whole different deal. And because quarterback is such a cerebral position, I feel like these high intensity, this is like a medical school type of interview where they try to put as much pressure on you as possible and see how your brain operates. I'm guessing there's some crossover between that and playing on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the very least, you got to be able to handle the classroom part of it to be smart out on the field and to be able to do some of the higher level stuff that offenses are doing these days. So that was really cool to hear about just how, I think Deshaun made it sound like an even more intense environment than what Bill O'Brien had portrayed.
Yeah.
And the thought, like kind of the visual of O'Brien and the coaches give him this, teach him some stuff about the offense. They leave. Imagine what they were thinking when they walk back into the room and they see that Deshaun's got a table full of papers that he's written plays out on and everything.
Yeah.
Like that. Because I'm guessing there's some quarterbacks that probably they come back and they maybe have scribbled a few things down on one notepad and kind of like a Johnny Manziel attitude of like, hey, I'm going to show these guys how smart I am. I don't even need to take the notes, versus somebody that takes a lot of notes, is studious, shows that he's prepared with it.
Keep in mind the mindset that Bill O'Brien and at that time Rick Smith had to be in. That was post Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
That was a month after they traded Brock Osweiler with a second round pick to Cleveland. So I think, Seth, the emotion you're talking about in them walking back in that room and seeing all those notes, it's one thing if you're a team that already has a quarterback and you're just interviewing Deshaun Watson because you want to do your due diligence on a guy and, hey, maybe we will draft the guy. But if you already have a quarterback, you're not feeling nearly as needy. That was a needy head coach and general manager that walked back into that room to you know, whatever it was Deshaun had been doing in those 10 minutes to impress them, and what he continued to do to impress them throughout the entire draft process, which makes me think, when you say that, man, what must they have been thinking when they walked in there? I'm guessing their immediate thought is, how do we move up from 25 to go get this guy? Because he's probably not going to be there at 25, which then makes me think, how many first-round picks would general manager William O'Brien have given up to go get Deshaun Watson when he gave up two to go get Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah. Oh, if he had his druthers
to go get a quarterback,
moment, he would have pulled a Ditka probably, which is what whole happens draft. When a coach is the GM. You trade away your whole draft for something you really
want. You
know
what? It would have been worth it. For a quarterback.
For Ricky Williams?
No.
Should the Texans trade for Ricky Williams?
That's not what I'm saying.
Should they trade Pat Mahomes?
Would have been worth it for Deshaun Watson?
But the other question is, I wonder what their meeting with Pat Mahomes was like.
Mm.
I'm guessing it was somewhat similar. Pat Mahomes has a reputation as being a really studious and bright guy, too.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, and that's always the question that'll never be answered, I'm sure, is where exactly was Pat Mahomes on their hierarchy of quarterbacks?
Yeah, if Mahomes and Watson were both there when they traded up to 12, who would they have taken?
I'm guessing, this gets interesting, because O'Brien's Joe QB, you know, or at least wants to be, and Mahomes had the more quantifiable actual quarterbacking skills just in terms of arm talent and whatnot, but Bill O'Brien's also Joe process, Joe winning, and Joe, I love guys from Clemson, which we didn't quite know as much. I mean, Deshaun was part of that. That
Clemson, pretty good idea.
That
I mean,
Clemson infatuation.
Reader and Hopkins were on the team already, and Carlos Watkins.
That's right. Reader already was.
No, Watkins wasn't. He was in Watson's
right. Reader,
class.
Watkins, and yeah, Reader, and so and we already Hopkins. Know that they love the Clemson side.
Yeah.
So okay, what trumps out over it? Culture, winning versus pure physical skills. I think they might have preferred the actual winning background.
I think Watson would have been the pick.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because they picked him and everybody loves him and we love him and we had a great night with him last night. I think they would have picked Watson for that reason. Like, I'm a big believer in that. Patrick Mahomes has taken my theory on college quarterbacks and thrown it against the wall and shattered it into a million pieces. My theory has always been, I don't know that I'd ever take a quarterback in the first round who didn't win at a level that was higher than what you're used to at their respective school.
Right.
I'm not saying you got to win 10 games for me to draft you. Like, Dak Prescott didn't win 11 games a year at Mississippi State. They were a good team, and they had some moments when he was there. They crept into the top 5 and top 10 at times. But there's undoubtedly, they were better than the aggregate Mississippi State program. That's why I liked Prescott so much coming out of Mississippi State. I thought the Texans should have looked at him that year.
The tough thing there is, okay, yep, Dak Prescott's team played defense, you know?
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes' teams played zero defense, almost literally zero defense.
It's not the perfect theory.
They might have been better off if they had just conceded every single possession and played actually zero defense.
Landry's going to come in here in a second and preview what they've got going on In the Loop. I know you had a ton of other observations from last night, Seth. The one I want to make sure that we get in is you actually sat next to Deshaun Watson's agent at the event last night.
I did. No, I didn't sit next to him. I talked to him.
You talked to him. I thought you sat next to him.
No, okay, I had a good conversation with him after.
David Mulligetta.
Yeah. Right, and David Mulligetta was the one who was sitting between Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Watson.
On Instagram.
On Instagram. Which it turns out that Jalen Ramsey was just in town getting a second opinion on his back. But David is a really interesting story. He's based in Austin. But his first client was Earl Thomas, who, I don't want to get the details wrong here, so I won't go too much into detail, but when Earl Thomas was a freshman at Texas, he was stuck behind some players and wasn't doing a great job in school, and David kind of took him under his wing, gave him some advice, actually advised that maybe he should just focus on school and not play football, and because of that, which was bad advice, David would tell you, that was bad advice in hindsight, obviously, because Earl Thomas ended up being Earl Thomas,
right.
But I think it sounded almost like became kind of a big brother to him and gave him some tough love and some really good advice, helped him write a letter to the dean explaining himself and his academic situation.
He said, I want you to be my agent?
Yeah. So by the time David was in law school, when Earl Thomas was coming out for the draft, he just asked David to be his agent. And this was back in 2010, which was when you still had to negotiate a contract as a rookie. So he just kind of jumped into the fire in 2010, and now here are 9 years later. David's only 35 years old, and he's got a bunch of big-name clients. It's an impressive story.
Deshaun Watson and Jalen Ramsey are two of them. That's impressive stuff. Landry Locker jumps in with us right now. Landry, how are you?
I'm awesome, man. This is a fun time. It doesn't get much more fun than this. You got a decisive game tomorrow out there at the Juice Box. You got Watson versus Mahomes in 4 days. You got the Maury drama. I mean, this is all you can really ask for. It's exciting.
It is. And did you see that the Honey Badger is still searching his name?
Yeah, I have. And you know what? Yeah.
Can I just give the 30-second version of what's going on Twitter here?
Yeah.
Brandon Kiley, who I think used to be an intern up here,
he asked me to be on a radio show this week.
Maybe so, because okay. he's based out of Kansas City. He tweeted during the game on Sunday night, Tyrann Mathieu has been really good the last 3 weeks. I had told Brandon before when Tyrann Mathieu got there, I said, just so you know, he searches out his name on Twitter. So when you go tweeting about him, know that. So Brandon Kiley tweets, Tyrann Mathieu's been really good the last 3 weeks. I reply to him, good move. He will 1,000% see this. At which point, Ben Dubose copied both you and Patrick Starr on it with a couple of laughing, instigators. Crying emojis.
Instigators.
And sure enough, here's Tyrann Mathieu replying at 7:09 this morning to all of us, to you, me, Patrick, Ben, Brandon. Glad y'all find it funny. I'll make sure to give y'all the proper platform. Funny how, no matter what, people can never forget me. A gift I would say I have.
I blocked him, actually.
You blocked the Honey Badger.
Yeah, I blocked him because it was getting a little bit out of control. I mean, honestly, like it was to the point where it was like other people were more amused by it than I was. And just to pull back the curtain, like when our boss first got here, I think he thought I was like agitating the Honey Badger, like going and like mentioning athletes and stuff like that. And I was like, no, I promise you, like, this dude searches his name and he's just coming at me. So I just, it was getting to be a little bit too much. And plus, the thing about Honey Badger is he has a lot of, like, yes men who basically eat because of him. Mm. So those guys will start coming at you, too. And I just don't really want that smoke, man.
Well,
like,
There's
there's like six dudes coming at me throwing up, talking about, like, you don't want to get real ignorant and, like, all this kind of stuff.
Oh, like veiled threats?
Pretty much. I mean, you saw the Honey Badger this offseason, like threatening to shoot someone or whatever that was. That
I
news
didn't
story.
See that, actually.
Yeah. There was like someone who said that they drove by his house. Someone drove by his house and stuff. And the thing is, the Honey Badger has a lot of guys who just roll with him. That it's the theory, if one of us makes it, all of us make it. In other words, he's carrying like guys who didn't make it.
Do you know the people coming after you? Are those how do you know that those are those?
Well,
because
you look on their profile and you know basically they're with him every time. They're at the club
with
him.
The Honey Badger.
They're at the club with him every time. They're like tweeting out like his camp links and all that.
But now, see, are you even sure though that the Honey Badger is searching his own name, or is it that these guys are? I bet he has a lot of people, especially because he's a live wire. I bet every time anybody writes anything about him, they're sending it to they're forwarding it to him.
But what's really weird about it is I actually like Tyrann. Like when we've talked to him and stuff, like he is like the prime example of the internet, you know, misrepresenting y'all have heard him talk and all that kind of stuff, and no one has a bad thing to say about him. It's just when he gets on the internet, he gets a little bit too hot. But you know, good for him.
Sometimes he goes after people that are actually trying to compliment him.
Yeah.
He'll misunderstand it. Yeah. And it's frustrating because somebody will compliment him, Tyrann will tear him apart. And the person will be like, no, I'm complimenting you. And there's never a resolution.
No.
He just moves on.
No, he moves on to the next one. He moves on to the next guy.
That's why I had to stop like paying attention to him, because I would sit there and I'd feel bad. A couple times I reached out to him and I was like, hey, man, that guy was being nice to you.
It's like every episode of an HBO drama having a cliffhanger at the end and they never resolve the cliffhanger.
It's like the Russian dude that disappeared in the woods in that episode of Sopranos and you never find out what happened to him.
It's I think it might be more like that than you think. Like it's too much. It's too much for me. I'm not really trying to make him look bad, but I'm glad he got paid. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. What's going on In the Loop today?
A whole lot. You know, one of us is panicking. One of us isn't about the Astros right now. This is an ego game. This is an ego game for Bill O'Brien, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We're going to go back in time to the immediate reaction when Mahomes was drafted and when Watson was drafted, and Bill O'Brien was immediately front and center. And not only was he front and center, he was being questioned, and he's been questioned since. So this is a big ego game for Bill O'Brien. We'll get into that. Stanford Routes going to come in. We're going to react to the highlights from your visit with Deshaun Watson yesterday. I thought you had a very solid knockout joke that I think deserves a lot of credit. Okay. Figgy called his shot while you were in the stands. I think that deserves a lot of credit, and I enjoyed the word association. So we'll get into that. We're also going to just do what we do, man. It's a fun time to be alive.
I like this idea of Bill O'Brien showing up on the sidelines wearing an Andy Reid costume. That's basically what you're saying here. He's calling out Andy Reid.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
A few pillows jammed underneath his windbreaker. I like that. All right. In the loop, Landry Locker and John Lopez, they've got you next. Seth, I will see you on the air tomorrow at 6 a.m.
You'll see me wearing a Vince Wilfork overall with no shirt underneath.
With a pillow stuffed inside, no doubt. All right. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great
Stop
day, everybody.
Calling him fat.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.